Can you find that, Angela? It's under Tools, go to Audio, and then Audio Setup Wizard, and it will guide you through selecting your input and output device, and then you can test your audio and test the recording.
Does this sound better?
Say a little bit more. That I think that does sound better. There is still echo, though.
How is this?
Okay, I keep talking, Amy.
Okay. You hear lots of echo?
Your audio is very clear. It's just there's echo when someone else's mic is turned on, when you don't have a headset. So we'll just have to make sure that when you're speaking, everyone else's mic is off, and we can do that.
Do you want me to unplug it and see if it's better with the
computer? No, it will be worse.
Okay,
no
I'm
problem.
Sorry.
We can handle this, and we'll just have one mic on at a time when your mic is on. And we'll see how Angela's is, too, because she may have a similar issue.
Okay, so do you want me just to be quiet now and just
how
hear?
How about turning your mic off, and I'll turn mine off, too, until Angela's ready to test.
Okay, I've never used this microphone, so get back on if you
To get back on, you just click on the mic in the lower left-hand corner.
Yes, that's how I do it.
It on, and you click to turn it off. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay,
are you logged into your computer, Amy?
No.
Okay, so that Amy Sample 3 seems to be logged in.
Okay, what happened was is I've been putting this out. So I'm the @sambles80.
Okay, I'm going to remove the other one just to make sure there's no conflict there.
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to shut my microphone off now. Okay.
Good morning, everybody. How are you? Can you hear me, Jay?
Hi, Angela.
All righty, Angela. We're ready to test your mic. You want to go ahead and click on the mic in the lower left-hand corner.
I have an echo cancel on my
start talking.
Okay.
Hi, Angela.
Okay.
A lot of echo canceling
microphone, so it's not working.
Yes, you're getting that on?
That is better, but there's still echo.
Still echo. Okay. Let me test a headset quick.
Turn your mic back on, Angela, and try again.
Okay, Peggy, can you hear me now? Is that better?
That is better, but there's still echo.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Okay, I'm keeping talking right now.
Yes, I'm hearing you. Now, I've just turned my mic back on.
Okay, awesome.
Keep yours on so I can hear if there's echo.
Excellent.
With two mics open.
We're good to go. Okay, so.
Okay, keep talking.
Okay.
Absolutely
Amy.
Perfect.
That's Hello.
All the problem. Yes. Great.
Can you hear me?
All righty, we're good to go. Thanks. And we'll just make sure we only have one mic on when Amy is talking.
Okay. Hi, Angela. How are you?
Great, Amy. Keep talking. There is still some echo, but keep talking.
Hi, Angela. I hear you
perfect,
microphone.
Amy. I can hear you perfect. Yeah.
Angela's mic is off, so do we keep it on
okay.
the whole time? You know, that's a lot better, Amy.
I don't hear any echo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Now.
No, you turn it off when you're not speaking, and just turn
and
it
then,
on
Peggy,
when
you want
you
me
are
to do
speaking.
That as well when I'm not talking?
Okay.
Turn the mic off.
Great, thank you.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. And someone started the recorder, and we need to stop that. And we'll start it when the show officially begins.
So it's the top of the hour. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to get started. I'm so glad you're here today. My name is Lorna Costantini, and I'm pleased to co-host today's show with Kim Case and Peggy George. Our special guests today are Angela Mayers and Amy Sandvold, and our topic is a passion-driven classroom. Can I get a smiley face or a check mark at the bottom of the participants? Wonder for anyone new today? Anyone new to the session today? Smiley faced? Okay. Thanks, Lane. You just give me a smiley face. So I just want to know if I need to go through Illuminate. Is anyone not familiar with Illuminate that I need to walk through how to use it? So I give a green check if you're new and you don't know how to use Illuminate. So one person. Theodore, okay. Quickly, let's walk you through the Illuminate interface. I think you figured out already how to hear, send messages to back and forth to yourself or to the moderators. When we have open mic time, please have a headset. You click on, click off here with the microphone. Smiley face, you got a chance to do that. We'll be doing polling questions in a minute, so green check and red X. And I'm not sure if we're doing any whiteboard discussion today, but I know there's one little tool here we're going to ask you to use right away, and that's the magic wand, blue wand with a little starburst in the end, so we're going to ask you to look for that. So that you may have been noticing some notifications, either a bing when people come in or out, or the little pop-up window. If they are bothering you or you want to change them, go to the menu bar at the top of your screen and look for tools and then preferences, and you'll find yourself opening to this particular screen here. Once you can do visual notifications, you go click for visual, select or unselect the options that you want to, click apply. Similarly, on the same screen, you scroll down, you find audio notifications, so you can turn on the turn off sign. This is Illuminate's closed captioning or gone, sorry, mine not working. People who are hearing are visually impaired, so that's what we're using those great new features now with Illuminate. And I don't think we're doing application sharing, but before we get talking about the recording, I always want to thank Tammy Moore, who is in the classroom, who does closed captioning. So you do the CC and follow along with a wonderful job that Tammy does typing through the whole show. If you are new to the session and you don't want to lose track of anything of the conversations going on in the chat room, we do keep a complete archive session of the chat, of the Illuminate recording, of an audio file, and a video file, which we post on our website at live.classroom20.com in the archives and resources page. Now, we'll be dropping links in through the session so that don't worry that anything that's being mentioned or featured, Peggy and Kim are very good at bringing that information into the chat room. And you'll notice that some of you are talking back and forth to each other. Some people are making a comment. If it's blue, that means not everyone's seeing your comment. If you want everyone to see it, you do need to go down to the participants window at the bottom and click send and use the drop-down menu that says to this room. So avoid a little confusion. So that's Illuminate in a nutshell and really, really quickly. I think we can go forward to the next task. Now, this is where we need you to get that laser pointer here on the left of the whiteboard. If you click on that and then click somewhere in the map where you're located, and I'm right here, in St. Catharines, Ontario. If you can't figure out that laser, just type in the chat room where you're from. So it's always nice to see the diverse audience that we have in Classroom 20 Live. Someone from the Netherlands, great, welcome. I know Peggy's in Phoenix. I'm in St. Catharines, Ontario. Kim's in San Antonio, Texas, and our guests are from Iowa today. So isn't that lots of fun to see where we're located? Thank you very much, everyone, for participating in that fun part of our show. So more work for you. Let's move on to our polling questions. These questions help frame the discussion today for our guests. So our first question, get the first one, you're going to go a green check or a red X. Have you seen or read Angela and Amy's new book, The Passion-Driven Classroom, A Framework for Teaching and Learning? So that's a green check if you have, and a red X if you haven't. So we'll take a minute for everyone to cast their votes. Again, green check if you have, red X if you haven't. And those green checks and red X's are at the bottom right-hand side of the participants window. So if you can't find it, we'll just give you a second to locate that little tool for you and go ahead and post it. See, people haven't voted yet. So let's take a look at the results then for the first question. A large group of people have not, 64% have not read or seen the book, 15% have, and only 20% weren't able to answer it. So give you an idea, Amy and Angela, about how much excitement you're going to bring to the show because we haven't seen the book. Let's move on to the second poll question and just get rid of the results here. Thanks very much, Kim. So our second question here is, have you heard of the Clubhouse Classroom and Daily Boardroom Meeting? So that's, have you heard of the Clubhouse Classroom and Daily Boardroom Meeting? So I know I'm a red X. See how many people? Oh, it's a few people who know it. Obviously, Sandy, Peggy, great for you. Chris, oh, this sad place, hello. Let's see if we can get 100% of the people voting. Green check, red X. Way to go, Patrick and Paula. You're right up on top of things, so you're going to have to share your impressions as we get through this show. Let's take a look at the results again. And 77%, Amy and Angela have not heard about these two things, so we're going to look forward to finding out all about it. Let's clear the votes and move to the next poll question. It's our last one. Are you familiar with the heart mapping technique in a passion-driven classroom? Are you familiar with the heart mapping technique in a passion-driven classroom? And I think we're seeing a lot of X as well because this is teasing you. They're going to tell you more about this in their presentation. So let's do a quick look again. There, 69% have not heard of it. So I hope you enjoyed that bit of fun doing the poll questions. We're now going to get started and move on to our show and introduce our guests today, Angela Mayers and Amy Sandfold. And our discussion again is passion-driven classrooms, and I'm just going to give a quick background for
Good
Amy
morning,
and
everybody.
And
welcome,
as I turn
welcome.
The
I'm
over,
so glad to be here and to have Amy with me. It's just an honor and a treat.
So,
can you hear
Angela
me?
Angela is an educator known for
Hi,
her
Angela,
work in literacy
I can
and
hear
leadership.
You. Can you give me a thumbs up or
in new literacy and web two.
Excellent. So, if you get me started talking, who knows what I'll stop. So, Amy, I'm going to, do you want to kick it off or do you want me
numerous experiences. The
Angel, it's good. Why don't you go ahead and decide, and then what we usually do, and then we'll find that.
And she has started her own business, the Bayer's Education Service, and you can read her blog at AngelaBayer.com.
Come on in.
Now, Anne is an administrative teacher at Woodard Pre-Creek.
Oh, 15 years ago, it
seems
like when she was a consultant for the Waterloo School District, and we just immediately hit it off because,
what is a passion?
You know, when you meet a fellow passion-driven person,
question
you just
of the
connect
day.
Immediately.
And so it's my
so it's
turn
been several
turn
years
to
we've had
Angela or Amy who would like
we've
to start
talks about
your
children,
presentation, and welcome very much to Class 520 Live today.
Continuous passion-driven conversation.
Take the mic, Angela.
You want to take it from there, Angela?
See if you can answer a question for the group. Thank you.
Yes, I'm putting something in the chat. I just said everybody
slides are
has
up, and all you need to do is click on the arrow
in the chat room right now just so we get to this.
Uh-huh.
Ability to meet somebody that you completely know you're on the same place with. So, can you see the slide deck, Peggy? Can the slides go up? No, they're up. I need to click on the arrow. Yeah. Oh, there it is. Got it. See, look at me. I'm rusty. I've been in this, and I'm rusty. So I'll just start where our journey, and that's really what it is. This is a journey. It's not even close to finished. It's just beginning. The book came out officially about 2 weeks ago. So, and it's been literally a passion project for Amy and I, because the last thing in both of our lives we intended to do was write a book. But it sort of came to us through serendipity. As we were doing a summer workshop, Amy had come up to Iowa to work with a group of leaders and teachers and to relieve the stress of the day. Not that it was stressful, but sometimes we went for a run. And so we were running. This is the path behind my house, and we were running along the path behind my house, and it was just scattered with these amazing letters. And if those of you who heard the Habitudes presentation, you will recognize this plea to action from this young writer. And you can see in the side that it says, don't kill the animals. Here's some animals that we don't want you to kill, pandas, leopards, snow. We couldn't read the rest of them, but we literally were stopped in our track, and there were hundreds of signatures. So Amy and I were like, we have to find this writer. So we went, literally, we're all sweaty in our workout clothes, and we walked all over my neighborhood, door to door, knocking on the door, trying to promise all the parents were not crazy, that we had these papers and we had to find the writer. And so we went a few doors later. Here she is. And she met with us, and she brought us into her laboratory, which was her bedroom, and was telling us about her passion project and her mission to change the world and save this endangered panda bear. She collected money. She had been to the mayor. She was on a world-changing campaign. And she was getting busy because in a week she started kindergarten. And so she had a quick time to turn around. And so she's like, do you want to see plan B of my mission? And we're like, oh, my God, there's a plan B. And so she came, and she came back out, and she put on this shirt. And so what you see her doing is she's wearing plan B of her mission. So she knew already at this young age that to change the world, she needed to rally the community. And so in her bold and in her brave message that she went out and shared every day, she only knew that the people in her neighborhood would get it.
And if I can step in here
and
for a minute,
so
Angela.
She said, now, I have one of these for every day.
When we were on our run, we met Healy. I was a teacher at that time.
So she became a walking, talking billboard.
Literally,
and
it ignited.
And Amy and I were like speechless, and she looked at us and she's like, what are you fighting for?
I thought,
and we're like,
what?
How
oh
my
can
gosh.
I get my
Are
students
we were like
to be like this
and
again?
So then
because
we
get really
her off her mind.
That kids come
and
to us like this.
Then we started talking about if she's willing to do this.
Something
I mean,
happens
really,
to them.
This was a bad thing.
They move
she's
along.
Willing to
so
stand up for what she believes
totally changed
in,
everything,
fight for
and it kind
her
of
research of what she's uncovered
for
and discovered,
the clubhouse classroom and
tell the world
that later,
and rally the world around changing it to make it better.
This little girl reminded me what it was all about.
Passionate learners like her without doing the same. So that's what began our conversation about the book. And when we told her, Amy, you just keep going, yes. No, thanks, Amy. And so we started talking, neither of us intending to turn this into the book, but we knew that Healy had the habitudes, and so we knew that was there, that she had all of the 21st century skills, but we could not get over her unrelenting passion. Like, she is literally living and breathing, and when we talk to her parents, she's like, she wakes up thinking about these animals. She goes to bed thinking about these animals. She thinks of it's on her mind all the time, and she's been consumed with this her whole life for like 2 years while she can walk and talk. But and
I think it's
and
okay.
We
you
thought,
just went to the end.
We are too.
So go to
this
the beginning.
Who we are deep down, or who we were when we started this profession 20 some plus years ago, and then where did it go? And we've got to get that back as teachers, as leaders. In what we're doing. And so we started talking and talking, and then because we're both passionate people, okay, and I lost the slide deck. Sorry. Okay, Amy, get it back. All right. So I lost. Oh, I went to the end. Yeah, okay. All right, so I'm going to the beginning again. Sorry. So while I'm messing around with that,
it's my mic
Amy,
on.
You can set the stage for our discussion
of
the keyword. So we were, Amy was sharing that whole year.
Hello.
I think she was doing it in her classroom. And then
I
was sharing with teachers. And
people
then
that are just joining me, I apologize up front because I've never
dialogue
done that before.
About we've got
so
to put down
disclaimer.
Structure
anyway,
that we're testing out in your classroom that you're doing in your classroom. We've got
to
share this with other teachers.
I'm
and so then it came to putting this in paper and then, you know, meeting with IN Education, our publisher, and at that time we did have a title.
Individual.
And so, Amy,
if you,
you
put
can,
Angela and I in a room, we're
you
both,
can go from there.
We
yes,
have
I can hear you great, Amy. Yep, I can hear you.
We shared in different ways. And so we'd be on the phone and we're talking about how are we, I have this classroom framework. And then she was like, it's about the passion, it's the passion. And we would go back and forth about the P word. And we call it the P word because I did not like that word at first. I thought people are going to see that word, and especially, you know, middle school teachers. And you know what, middle school kids, when they hear words like that, the snickering and, oh my gosh, they said passion. But we believed. Finally, we came to an epiphany that it's a word that needs to be brought back in. And
I'm
going to
share, because when we agreed that it was going to be the passion-driven classroom, it went to about 12 educational reviews. So it went to
finally, I
college
came to embrace that word,
and they had
word,
a really varied audience, and
it's
all
absolutely
of them
about the passion.
Deleted the title. All of them came back and said, we love the framework, we love the book, but get rid of the title. We don't want passion in the title. Substitute it for engagement. Substitute curiosity-driven classroom. Substitute, you know, whatever. And so we went back and forth. And the more we researched and the more we talked and the more we did, it really ended up being this entire conversation about really what is passion and how is it different than engagement and how does it matter? Are they interchangeable? And how do we get that? If we just give kids topics of their choice, is that passion? And that is what was transformative to me in the research was in the deep study of passion work and the deep study of just the core of the word passion, the root of the word passion, the Latin root of the word passion is to suffer. And that's really what the game changer is. Of course, we don't want kids to suffer. But passion is what are you willing to do every day when it gets hard? Would you do your job today if it was free? Would you do the work you were doing and give all of your drive and your energy and your emotion to a cause like Haley is? She went out when it was wet, when it was cold, when she was tired. She went out there every day and put up 60 more signs. That's drive. That's tenacity. That's passion. If you like something, if you like a topic, if you enjoy doing something but you're not willing to suffer and fight for it, then that's a hobby. And that's something very different. Engagement is fleeting. Passion is a lifelong love affair, almost a marriage. It's not an emotion. It's a relationship that you are willing to commit to
and Angela,
for a lifetime. And that
and
really
also,
was a turning
you know,
point for us, was helping define that for
we
kids. So
sure
I just wanted you guys in the chat to comment or
to
think about that because I think that it's really important to toss around the words
engagement,
differentiation, and
it is critical.
You know,
have to have a level of engagement
learning and all of this
before,
stuff, but
you know,
this is really much deeper than that. So
that
I'd love to hear your thoughts on that
it's
if anybody wants to take the mic.
It's a different level of a student connection, so I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, anybody
want
to
comment?
Take the mic at this point? What's your definition of passion?
Nikki, you have the mic. Just click on it to activate it in the bottom left.
Hi, everybody. I am enjoying this discussion immensely, Angela and Amy, and I'm not going to quote my own words because I think the poet Theodore Rothko said that the notion of emptiness generates passion. And by that, I think the word notion is very key because you've had a taste of something, you have an inkling of something, and you are hungry for it, and that is the driving force. And in behavioral psychology, a deprivation operation, removing something that people that or any organism you're training wants, generates this drive to know more. So I think this is a very apt and appropriate definition and word for your book.
If at any time you'd like to share, click on the hand with the green up arrow and we'll give you the mic. Barbara?
Hi, everyone. I guess you'd say that I live my passion. I live it every day and I'm working right now with students that are at risk, and I'm seeing a difference. And mainly it's because the teachers want to change, and the administrator is giving them some opportunities to take risks. And I have to tell you, I just had an epiphany on Wednesday when I met this little boy who told me and opened up to me, and I made him my assistant, and just watched him change. And I know why I'm doing this. It's my purpose. And I think that so many of you, I see almost all the people that I are in my PLN are here. We're doing this because we love this, and we know that we have to make a difference. And we know that we can't keep having schools continue the way they're going. So I'm going to let go because I could go on, and
Mom,
I don't know if Angela or Amy know that, but I could go on and on. So
let's take one more.
I just
want to
thank
one more hand up,
because
this is what it's about. It
today.
Really is about reigniting this in you. This is why you're here. It's Saturday morning, you guys, on Christmas, weekend before Christmas, and 83 people are here. Think about that. Because of each other, because of this topic, it matters that much.
Norma, did you have a comment? You have the mic. Go ahead and continue on, Angela.
We'll move into a little bit of the practicalities of the framework. This is really what the book answers. How do we dig into this conversation with kids? What is passion? And helping them define the difference between things they like, topics they like, topics they're interested in, which of course we want them engaged in, but things that they really, really are willing to, as Vicki said, be devoted to, be driven by, and commit to. Mind, heart, and soul. And then helping them understand why that matters, why it matters to find what you're willing to fight for, what you're willing to work hard for, because that's the key to their success way beyond the topics in the classroom. And then how does that look on a day-to-day basis? And that's where Amy's brilliance really just guided me so deeply, because everything needs to be tested with kids, with real kids, with teachers doing this every single day, every minute, where they don't get bathroom breaks and, you know, kids are fighting with each other and nothing goes right in the agenda. And so Amy guiding through this, what does it look like at 8 o'clock in the morning, and what do you
Sounds
do at 8:15? So that's the three questions we tried to answer. So I'll start with the getting the conversation going, and then Amy, you take over on the organization and structure of the clubhouse classroom. So defining passion was very much like what we just talked about, helping kids differentiate between the difference between what is a hobby for you, what is a topic of interest. You may love dinosaurs, you may love animals, you may love shoes like me. I would say shoes is a passion for me. That's just a hobby. But helping them have the words to, elicit in themselves. And one of the techniques that we use to help them find their path toward passion was from one of my, I'm sharing this slide deck because visuals helped us a lot. I don't know if this will play, but it's worth, because passion is something that you can feel and see. You saw it in Haley. She didn't just like her topic. It came through her body. So I don't know if this is hyperlinked, and I don't want to mess it up. So we'll come back to it. We can end with this. But this little boy, you will so see his passion. It's almost painful. They're so into it. But I wanted kids to see, too, that this is passion. This, like, so deep, almost like a trance of a drive. This is passion. This is the face of passion. Passion is seriously hard work. Seriously hard work. It's what faith remains after the fun part is gone. And so I think getting slide decks together, getting visuals of people doing passion-driven work helps us get to the core of passion's definition, which is the drive part. What are you willing to be disciplined over? What are you willing to commit to? What are you willing to stand up for and fight for? Not just people having fun, playing golf and doing things they love. and helping them differentiate between hobby and passion, between engagement and passion. Passion is something that comes from the inside out, where engagements and hobbies can be influenced by outside factors. So this is what, you know, I love Wordle, people. But this is really, in all of the discussions with kids, we started putting together, when we were studying individuals who committed to passion-driven work, then we put their attributes in the Wordle. And then this is how we got the second part of the title, is that what kept coming up is people kept talking about their drive, how many hurdles they overcame, how much pain they went through to fight for their cause or to fight for their mission or their issue. Look at all the pain we go through, and 80-plus of us are here today. Our job is somewhat painful sometimes. It's so frustrating. Unwavering commitment. I just saw that in the tag. So I think techniques like this to get out and get to the depth of it as a whole school or classroom is critical. But then helping them understand that passion is not static, that even when you find it, you have to have, so passion quotient is much like, you know, intelligence quotient or curiosity quotient, that the depth of your commitment, that ability to be driven and be committed and disciplined can increase through your habits and through your mindset. So you have to have protocols and procedures in the classroom that increase your PQ. So the very first group sort of activity that we got to merge with the protocols before we just went into our passion routines was a technique by one of my favorite authors, Georgia Heard. And I learned this probably 15 years ago in Teachers College in the writing workshop. And she calls this heart mapping. And she describes it as a tool to help young writers and young readers and young poets and, you know, mathematicians and scientists get to the depth of what they're capable of. And that's an emotional depth, that academic and cognitive work that's required for the discipline doesn't come until you have deeply listened to your heart. And to be introspective like this is very hard without a technique. So what the heart map does is it helps you dig into, literally map through and map out the issues, the ideas, the moments, the events of your life that got you where you are. Because, you know, the golden rule for me, for writers, is writers don't write about what they don't know about, care about, and wonder about. And kids confuse, and adults confuse, I think, too, the difference between being interested in a topic and being willing to know a topic really deeply, to study it deeply, deeply, deeply. And so the heart map is a whole long sequence, but there's guiding questions. This is weeks of conversation with kids, but the beautiful thing about the heart maps is they're individual. And what I really encourage schools and classrooms to do is once you move through the sequences of lessons in the heart maps, then this is what we should be displaying, because this is really what Twitter is, you guys. This is what the web is.
Any questions out there on
heart mapping?
It's
the ability to find where our hearts connect, not where our topics connect, but where our hearts connect. So rather than putting kids
topics
and
on the hand with the green up
they
arrow,
put their heart mouth,
or to
they literally laid
the
them out to the world,
the chat,
and then said, I never knew that
and
deep in your heart you cared about this, or I never knew that deep in your heart you cared about this. And then
the
now
chat
you're building a PLN offline.
Go ahead
and
continue,
Angela. And it sets the stage for the passion-driven teams that will happen in the classroom structure. So this was the first sort of launching of helping individuals get to the place they need to get to do the work, but then helping them understand that the work they're most passionate about is most likely to get done. Their mission is most likely to be met when they are teamed with another group of passionate individuals or a Seth Godin calls tribes. So any questions just about those initial conversations? And Amy will get into the structure of, you know, what does the day-to-day routine look like? Excellent. So I'm going to put the book link in while Amy's talking. So I think that we have two goals as we move through this schedule of the day. It's not really a schedule. It's, you know, sort of a habitual passion routine. So we've got two goals in this routine. Obviously, we want kids to get in touch with their deepest, you know, most genius aspects of their life. But I think that, as Amy said, we have to do a really, really systematic job of preserving passions, because it is at urgency level that when we looked at the Haleys, how many of our kindergarten kids have that kind of willingness to commit to a topic, not just like a topic, but commit hours upon hours upon tedious hours to one topic or one mission. Almost every four-year-old
okay,
that we met.
My mic on.
And then when we look at adults,
I keep asking
who are so out of touch with their passion, so out of touch with what they're willing to focus on and commit to, because
okay.
we just scattered them with so many topics that don't matter. They forgot what it was like to commit
really,
to something that
you know,
does.
We could have another
preserving passions is number
on
one
this,
priority.
That could take an
and then helping
hour.
Them
so what
refine
we want to
and
do is
define their
you
passions
excited
is
about
second
the
priority.
And we'll give you a little
and so,
taste of what it is.
Amy, I'll let you set up
they had set
the structure.
When we met Haley,
and we used Google's
when I was a
model
teacher,
of the 20% project.
Go back
so 4 days a week,
think,
they work in their
be doing
academic
different.
Club.
We are
to learn as scientists and mathematicians,
the
and then Friday,
we
the fifth
their
day, the fifth rotation of the week is the ability to use those talents
in,
as mathematicians and
by
scientists
the time they
and
get
journalists
to
and
fourth, fifth
researchers
grade,
and commit to a
you
project
don't, you don't see that.
That's
so
worth sharing to the world.
I have been
so,
doing
Amy?
The workshop
yes,
framework
perfect.
In my classroom. Donald Graves, an expert at passion-driven writing. Lucy Calkins, you look at the sisters with the Daily Five, they all had a passion for the literacy aspect of the day, and I was on board with that philosophy. So then I started thinking, why do I stop teaching that way when the literacy time is over? How come I can't do that in science and social studies? We could be doing this all day long. So that it was very gradual. It wasn't like I woke up one day and boom, had this idea. But then I thought, wow, we need to have our classroom set up in a way where we still are teaching the standards, that we're meeting the criteria, the curriculum, that we're meeting the outcomes, of course. I mean, we are, that's the reality. We have to live within the parameters of our reality. So what we thought of was, I'm going to make my classroom a clubhouse. I'm going to replicate what we do as an adult and what kids do outside of school to practice their passions, so that when they walk into the classroom every day, they have a place where they can practice their passions. And so we started calling it the Clubhouse Classroom. And instead of having math time as such, you would have mathematicians. You would teach the kids how to think like mathematicians, use the language of mathematicians, and practice like mathematicians. And you do the same thing with social studies. You have historians. You have sociologists, you have researchers. So when we wrote the book, we are very careful not to make a prescription. It's the idea. So no matter what it is that we teach, what we need to do is harness what we do outside. So all of us here that are here today, 87 participants, I bet every single one of us has a passion, whether it's golfing, whether it's scrapbooking, whether it's Twitter, whatever your passion is, you want to practice that. So we tried to replicate that into the classroom. If you look at the book, it will outline the first several lessons. It sets up a framework, and the heart mapping
is one of the lessons that you can do to launch the learning club.
That every day,
for ourselves mostly, but for kids,
and that's
that
the
we answer why.
The
why are we here
the
today?
Kind of
what is
that
our work about?
So
today you might be practicing something very menial, like math facts or commas in your writing. But you need to know
work
why.
That they'll be doing
and you need to know why if
future.
You practice hard today's mathematicians or you practice hard today's science
the morning meeting,
that you are here to become a better scientist, to become a better writer, to become a better reader. You may be working on this particular unit or this particular product. But you are here to become, and I think that that is a to-be list that we honor in this. And the first part of coming to a place to become better as a learner, as an individual, as a community, starts with that that opening sort of ceremony, so that they don't get caught up in the work that they're doing, that they understand what the work is fueled by. And it really is such a simple structure, but it matters when we are constantly ensuring kids that we can answer the question, why are we here? Why are we doing this? What are we trying to accomplish? How will doing this better you, better the team, better, and most importantly, as you'll see with the Passion Project, better the world? Because we expect your contribution. You are responsible for contributing.
Angela, I've been reading some of the comments. I'm going to go ahead and just before we get into the Passion Project, because that is actually the Passion Project is going to be a culmination. So it's taking the things that all the kids have been learning because we need to give them the tools because we talked about how Pat being passionate.
Patrick, take the mic. He's in the room. So,
environment.
Yes, he's here. Okay, he's going to take the mic. And this is,
but anyway, we're looking at 174
middle school students.
We just connected with
go ahead and activate your mic, clicking on the button in the bottom left.
Okay.
Am I
coming through?
Can you tell me his name again?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Who was this that launched this
oh, perfect.
In middle school.
I broke my headset this morning, so this is held together with scotch tape. But I wanted to
oh,
be
Patrick
here. Yeah, Angela and I started talking, was it about a month ago, after your book came out? And we shared some stories about what I had done in the middle school where I'm at. I'm in St. Louis at an independent school. And I taught a course this fall for all of our 7th graders because that's when we begin our one-to-one program. And the course is really designed to acclimate them to the school and also acclimate them to learning in a one-to-one environment. And the impetus for the class in the past was really focused on skills, and there was nothing that tied all of these disparate things together. So prior to Angela's book coming out, it would have been really nice to have had this 6 months ago when I framed the course, but I decided to make it a passion-based learning class, and each student had to choose as their topic. They identified what their passion was, and so as we went through the course and started learning about social networking and social bookmarking and effective search strategies and website evaluation, all of this was geared around the topic that was their passion. And it culminated in a product that they made that answered some essential questions. And then they're sharing those with their homeroom, with their advisory. And It's been an interesting experience thus far.
Any questions for Patrick about, because Patrick, we're collecting data on, what kids thought about it, what kids' reactions were when they actually got to do mathematics and science through some of their passion topics. How did you see a change in
them? It looks like somebody's hand is raised, too.
Patrick, did you hear the question?
Well, okay. We're waiting for Patrick to respond. Norman, did you have a question or a comment?
I think I lost the mic. That's why I was talking and nobody heard me.
Okay, there you go.
Do you want Norman jump in or do you want me to respond to the question?
Go ahead and respond, Patrick.
I think the question was, how did this change the kids? Is that right? Too much scotch tape. For many of them, it was the first time that they'd actually been given the opportunity to think about and explore and investigate something that was of a personal interest to them, and we talked about that. So much of their learning is prescribed, it's laid out, it's scoped and sequenced and very structured, and that's all well and good and that's important, but it was empowering for them to be able to decide, this is what I want to explore in more detail and to have opportunities, because a big part of this is they have to connect with other kids that share that same passion. And it was really strange for all of us to think about the teacher as not being the content area expert, because I don't know everything about all these topics. But when you started seeing kids meet other kids, and this was, a pretty large class, 150 kids spread out over 10 sections, meeting other kids that shared the same passion and talking about it and building friendships and relationships, some of which was done online, some of which was done face-to-face, it really was a change for them. And it's not done yet. It hopefully is continuing, because you don't just lose your passion for something because the class ended at the end of the first
Patrick's
trimester.
Looking for that, this is a good time.
Now, I can drop a link in to the chat where you can get more information, because I've got a summary of kind of what we did, and you can see some of the limitations
sort of
and some of the successes that we had. Let me go look for that, and I'll drop that
in. And then we are collecting, as we're hearing from teachers, so the book's really been out. It's about 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, I think. So as teachers are contacting us and we're hearing about their project, there'll be a place for teachers all over to upload what their kids are doing, what they're doing, different schedules and adaptations to the very, as Amy said, the very basic schedule that we put in. We put both a self-contained schedule for elementary and an adapted schedule of the day for middle school, or specialized classrooms. And I think that's the best way, so that you can see it can be something that they've discovered in their own study, or it can be something that they've read about and became passionate about. So I was recently in Canada and talking about the Passion Classroom, and I met somebody on the bus that I was driving, and he's a scientist working in Haiti. And there was a little girl that he connected with, an 8-year-old little girl, who heard that the children in Haiti did not have water. And I'll be writing more about this, because he's just sending me the pictures. But there was some movie stars that came and climbed Mount Kilimanjaro to raise money for this UN project to eradicate cholera through a filtering system that they had discovered, these scientists. And this little girl heard about it on the news and was just distraught. So for the last, her dad said for the last 6 months, she has been passionately studying, like consumed with how do we help, how do we help these villages and not let children die. And so she wanted her dad to fly her to Mount Kilimanjaro, and of course he's like, well, I can't really put you on a plane and fly you over there. And she was beside herself. And she said, well, Dad, there's a mountain like an hour away from our house, and I'm going to climb that. So they got in touch with the scientist, and she climbed it. She raised $9,000. And the scientist I was riding with on the bus had just come from delivering that check to the village in Haiti. So he sent me, I don't have them up, but he sent me all of the pictures and her story. I'm going to be interviewing her on the blog. So a passion mission or a project can be ignited from the outside, or can be ignited through the passion wall where kids, because they're sharing what their hearts are, connect and say, you know what, we can do this. We can do something good on this. Or it can come from, as Patrick's classroom did, what they're studying. This is and we go into how to get towards the project. Part of it is recognizing, as we said, your individual genius, your individual contribution of what's going to make your passion mission come. Are you adaptable enough? Are you curious enough? Are you imaginative enough? And then, basically, you were helping kids define who would they be a valuable addition to a team working on a passion mission. So if they need somebody on that mission to think imaginatively, well, now they know they've got, you know, little Sam right here. If they need somebody who's really adaptable, then they've got, you know, this little girl right here. From very early on, I need kids to know that it is their responsibility to contribute, that this relationship that you have with your idea, your topic, your mission, your talent is not going to matter if it isn't shared. So these are kids saying, what are my gifts? What are my contributions to the passion mission going to be? And helping them form passion-driven tribes and teams. This is my favorite one because, I don't know if this is the one, but this is a little kindergartner. And she said, well, I think my gift is singing.
One thing that we really
there's sad
want to make clear to everyone
and
is
somehow I know
make sure that
I
people understand that
I can just break out a song
a series
and that
of
team will work better together. So
fluffy,
it's
fun
getting
lessons
about
differently
about being
mapping.
Of the world and not
want,
just taking
you
from
know
it. So
that
I know I'm talking way too
part of a greater framework. That these are lessons that are tied to explicit teaching the kids the tools that they're going to need to use as adults when they're out in the world to do well with their future. So this is part of a framework, and we've just given
on
a
that note, Amy,
some of
we
the great
wiki,
lessons.
Peggy, do you have
that
a link
to
the wiki in there?
That Angela
we created a wiki with two wikis with
any of my student work.
One
of
the
administrators, so I'm taking myself now because
a
I have nothing.
So
we have
passion driven
to review it. So
you have to know what your contribution can be. You want to know what your
you
have to know. You cannot be a member of a team if you don't know what you're willing to bring to the team. So we put a wiki together for helping get out what the attributes of the passion team would be, and then a wiki for the book so that teachers can, the slide deck is in it, examples are in it, we'll be sharing links. Patrick and Amy and I are going to start collecting some data on his 174 kids. I think that, as we said earlier, this is the start of our mission is very clear. We want to change lives and change the world. We absolutely are going to do that, and we cannot without your passion. Seeing 83 of you here today, again on Saturday, I will jump your fire to help you. It's that critical. Both Amy and I are parents, and I didn't have at the last minute I put these in here. But every year when my kids go to school, we sit on the front deck of my house, and I've got these pictures from kindergarten all the way up to where they are right now in high school. And it's hard to share these because every year I see my son in kindergarten was looking like my daughter. This is her in second grade. And then year after year after year until I see this face. This is this last year. And this is the year I lost both of them. This is the face of apathy. The face of I could care less about school. It doesn't matter. I'm so far away from, and the face this year I can't even show because it's near anger. To let you know that when kids go, that they start out with the face of Haley, and then every year they get less and less not only excited, but they become apathetic because they don't feel that their contributions are valued. And we've got to change that. So we need you to do that. We can't do this. We cannot do this alone. We have just started the conversation, and we can change the world. Look at Haley. Look at the little girl who's 8 years old. We need inspiration for that.
After this comment, I just want to leave everyone with a positive example.
Like Haley, we're saying to you, what are you willing to fight for?
So we'll take a few questions, and then I want to end with
stand up for. What are you willing to stand up for?
Put their passion into
practice. It's not this topic, then what?
And they are changing the world. So
we'll just leave that open for questions and comments. Yes.
No.
Laura, if you want to take her out.
Yes. Awesome. Sorry about that.
I wonder if anybody can hear me, but I'll just assume that you can hear me, and that if you can't, you let me know. This has been amazing to me. I'm almost speechless because it touches on something that I've thought about so many times, because I'm that passionate person. Everything that I tackle, everything I learn that I get interested in, I just want to read everything. I want to talk to everybody. I just want to dig into it. And it has just made me wonder, like, why kids today don't seem to have that kind of passion, and like what we can do about it. I'm not teaching this year. I'm taking a year off, and that's actually been really hard for me because I'm very passionate about teaching, and I'm planning to go back next year. But I have learned some strategies to help with the passion aspect in reading because I love reading. But what you're talking about is so much more. It's just amazing to me, and I'm really excited to go back and take some of these strategies. It really gives me something to look forward to go back to the classroom next year, and I'll be wanting to read the book and learn more because I just think it's so important to give kids that feeling that they can contribute and they can make a difference. And what can we do as teachers to teach them that everybody has a special gift inside them that they can give. So I just thank you for this. I haven't read the book yet, but I'm thanking you just for the idea that it's out there and that there's some resources for me.
Thanks, Laura. That's awesome. I'm going to end, and then we can take a couple more quick things. Our middle school students participate in a passion project, and we're in like a little Chicago, we call it, in the middle of Waterloo, Iowa. We're in an inner city environment, and as local businesses are leaving the area around the school, we have more and more nightclubs, liquor stores, those sorts of things coming in pretty close within the school proximity, and our students were studying the effects of high-risk drinking. That was their passion project. They felt they needed to make a difference, and so they studied this through kind of a service learning model. They made that their passion project, and they did all sorts of work. They had a town hall meeting with our local, our mayor. We had senators there. We had people from the library that just came to visit the town hall meeting. Well, to make a long story short, they got word that we were going to have a liquor store move one block away so that when they're playing out at recess, basically, there would be a liquor store that they'd be
the
sharing
only
it.
The only voice missing
right.
today is
so
students.
They,
and so
they wrote
I
letters
just
to the
end
editor.
The conversation
they
this morning with their voices.
And showed up to the city council meeting and the individual
the
ended up with drawing
the
application
went into one of the classrooms a couple
open
weeks ago
the
of the original
and
the class that I interviewed. And so I couldn't put just the raw data.
They
what they thought
great,
what they
and
did.
They
so I'm not
this,
a poet, so
thing,
this.
So
but I ended up, I was so moved
we have to try it they can
poetically
it. We have to let
that
them
I just put it into a poem. And basically,
and
in all the data, we asking them
and amaze us.
What we could do, because somebody wrote in the room, is this going to take 10 to 15 years to change? And so that's basically what we laid out to kids. We don't have 10 to 15 years. Teachers want to change your lives. And we want you to go out and change the world. What is it going to take? What do you need from us to do? And then I took all those responses, and this is what we'll close with. It's called The Promise of Passion. Dear teacher, love me. Make me feel special. Make me feel included. Make me feel valued. Smile for me. Tell me you're happy to see me. Tell me you're happy to teach me. Tell me you're happy I'm here. Involve me. Tell me about our work together. Tell me of how I can help and mean it genuinely. Notice me. See all of me. See my emotions, my laughter, my curiosity, my anticipation. See my rights, and I will work on my wrongs. Teach me. Please don't tell me what you know. Show me what I need to know and show me how to do it well. Help me. When it gets hard, help me persevere. Help me know it matters. Excite me. I came here in love with learning. Keep me excited. Show me the fun. Show me your fire and passion. Promise me. Promise me that you can. Promise me that you will. Promise me that you are ready to love me, help me, excite me, and teach me. I'm ready for you, teacher. I want to learn. I want to know. And I want to be your student. I promise I will return the favor. I will reward you with my attention, my focus, and my heart. I will show you what I can do. I will show you who I can be.
And I know that people still have questions and comments
when I shared the poem
that they would like to address.
After, this
that
was
they
one
would
of the
like
first,
Amy and Angela
that
to address.
With.
So we invite
they
everybody to stay on. But we do understand if you have to step away for a bit.
Is a work of fiction? Is there
we
a school really
let you know
there
on December 30th, that will be our next
yes.
show.
Because
we
of
will
you.
Not have
so thank you
any
guys
more Saturday
very
shows.
Much
this
for being
was our
time.
Last show of the year on our regular Saturday schedule. And we're planning a very special Countdown Smackdown, a Smackdown where you share your resources. And we are inviting everybody that has participated in all of our shows, as well as those who are new, and we hope that you'll join us. We won't have a show on the 25th or January 1st due to the holidays, but our countdown to the new year, we're celebrating with a fantastic web tool, Smackdown, and we hope that you'll join the countdown to Smackdown on December 30th, and we'll give you some more information. You don't need to register, but we do have a form that we'd like you to fill out if you're going to bring and share a web tool or a technology resource, and that's on the Glam link as well as Peggy just posted it in the chat. And if you could just sign up so that we kind of get an idea and we can have your resources that you're going to share ready in a glam link to share with everybody. We'd appreciate it on that form. And the form link is in the glam link today as well. And these are our upcoming shows. And January 8th, we're going to have Richard Burns. So you'll want to join us for that session. As soon as you exit today, a survey will open, and you don't need to do anything. Just it will open automatically in your browser once you exit this session. You can also request a professional development certificate in the survey. Just list your email address and your name. And if for some reason you don't get the survey open, you can always email us, or you can, or if you're watching the video, the recording, you can also request a professional development certificate by sending an email to live@classroom20.com. And give us a few days. Peggy takes care of that, and she'll send out the certificate to you in your email during the week. And we also have an iTunes U channel that Peggy has helped us set up and coordinate through Arizona. And you can access that channel directly by going to tinyurl.com/CR20Live iTunes U, all one word, CR20Live iTunes U, and that will take you directly into our iTunes U channel, so you can take the MP3, the entire chat log, and the MP4 with you wherever you go. And we want to give a very special thank you to everybody who has helped make 2010 such a wonderful success for our webinar series. We thank each of you for your faithful support and attendance every week and watching the recordings and sharing the links and recordings with all of your colleagues. We also want to thank you for making Classroom 2.0 Live a first runner-up in the EduBlog Awards. And we are just grateful to everybody who voted and won an award, and to all of you for helping support us and all of our ventures, as well as everything that we do to help teachers. And we, in that spirit, we are creating a tribute to Steve Hargadon, so please don't tell him. I've asked him not to click on any voice threads between now and the 30th, and we invite you to leave your comments and share how Steve has impacted your life and Steve, how he has made a difference and helped you professionally or personally. And if you'll go to tinyurl.com/SH tribute for Steve Hargadon tribute, and leave how he has impacted your life. We would greatly appreciate that. We're going to present that to Steve on Thursday, the December the 30th, at our final celebration in the Countdown Smackdown, Countdown to the New Year. So we hope that you'll take time. That link is in the Glamour link, or Glam link, Glamours for your Glamours co-host here. And we hope that you will share the link and help others share how Steve has made just a fantastic difference. So please take a moment to respond. And we want to give a very special thanks to Angela and Amy for joining us today. And, of course, to Steve Hargadon, who did help us get started.
Yep.
And he started the show,
yeah,
and
I'm still here.
Over almost 2 years ago in January, to be 2 years for Peggy, Lorna, and I. And this is our 137th
show. Okay, can you hear
show.
Me?
And we have all of you to thank for your support and for helping
okay.
make this happen.
The question was, you know, how do I work this in with the other teachers? And, you know, the setup that we have is we have an advisory program. And the course that I taught, even though it's only a trimester long and there's only so many times I get to see the kids because they meet once each cycle, so I've really got to do a lot in a very small amount of time. And sharing the projects was something that the kids weren't going to have time to do in my class. So they're actually sharing them out in their advisory. And then that brings in, effect, all of the other teachers because they get to see students that they teach and advise and see them in a different light and also get some first-hand experience with what it's like to look at a child that is talking and sharing something about, you know, their passion. So it's not as long as to go in and say, well, here's how you can infuse your math classroom with, you know, passion-based learning, but rather it's sort of a gateway. And this is the first year we've done this, but it's giving them sort of that hands-on experience with the kids bringing it into them as opposed to me, bringing it to them. And that, I think, is going to be the exciting part in January and February when they get an opportunity to share their passion with their peers and with their teachers and then see where that takes us. I think that's going to be kind of neat.
They'll say things like, and I'm sure you experienced this, but I had no idea that they could do that. I'm amazed that they don't do that for me. So, all of you out there,
thank you so much for sharing, Patrick. And Norman, did you want to make a comment? Norman, did you want to take
the
mic, Norman?
Thank you.
Go ahead, you have the mic. And if anybody else would like to take the mic, please click on the hand with the green up arrow, and we'll give you the mic, and you can share your comment or question. And we'll go ahead and continue on. If there's been a question that I haven't already addressed, please go ahead and type it in the chat or click on the hand with the green up arrow. We'd love to invite you to take the mic. And Angela, we do hope you'll post that poem on your blog. There are people who are requesting that, so we hope that you'll have time to do that soon, Angela.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to ask a question.
That will be
how
great.
Many people start out a year asking their kids what they want to learn?
Angela or Amy, would you like to take that question?
Why don't you take that?
Well, that's the whole point. We need to turn it over to the kids. So when you start a year, you know, Angela and I had a conversation about this. It's reminding me of this. Angela, do you remember when we called each other up on the phone and we're like, oh my gosh, all the information we're getting from school, this is us parents, is do this, don't do that, don't do this, do this. All the, you know, rules, rules, rules. And we as passion-driven teachers and people totally believe what you're saying. We need to start, and we do. We start our year with the conversation, what are you good at? What are you interested in? And what are we going to do about that?
I'm not anti-teacher, as you know. I'm pro-children, but I have a whole collection. I don't know what I'm doing with them of all the schools I go in. I was just in my son's school this last week, and what hits you in the face is don't do this, don't bring this, don't do this. And it doesn't mean that there aren't things that kids don't do, absolutely, but the environment sends out messages. And if we don't send out messages that you are welcome, that your lives matter, that every voice is worth listening to, that you can be here, and that when you're here, we want your contribution, we expect it, we need it. Of course there'll be don'ts, but I think if you start with the do's, you know, what can you do? What are you capable of doing that you didn't know you were capable of doing? And how are you going to do that so it benefits other people? We would not be spending so much time and money on all the don'ts.
Well,
so it's very hard.
And then I just posted, you know, it is the teacher is the chief learning officer in the classroom, the CLO, and it's their job to guide all the things that the students can do. So it's totally shifting the paradigm of what the teacher's role is.
I just want to throw something in quick. The question came up about, you know, asking what the kids want to study, and I think I dropped a link into the chat about a tool that I used called the Interestalizer, and it was interesting because it's just a series of questions about would you like to do this, would you not like to do this, pardon me, and it was interesting to see how many students, sadly, aren't interested in much of anything anymore. And they've just sort of burned out, and I think Angela and Amy brought that up earlier. But if you're looking for a way to sort of get at what kids are interested in, that's a good resource. And it's kind of out there in the, not the public domain, but it's, I think, free for anybody to use. I did not invent it, but I've certainly made good use of it. And then one other thing to think about with passion that I found, when kids are sharing their passion, it's up to them sort of how they best want to share that. And we actually looked at something called expression styles, and that's another conversation for another day. But you might be very passionate about something, but, you know, if you're not a good writer, having to write a paper about your passion is, it's going to kill it. So I let the kids, when they made their final projects and shared them, they actually used a tool or a technique that really fit with sort of how they best express themselves. So I think that's important if you're going to explore passion with your kids.
Great.
To not get them all excited about something that they want to, you know, learn about and something that they want to share, and then tell them how exactly they have to share it. Because I think that will kill sort of some of that spark.
That
can be tricky, but it's worth trying to get right.
Or if you'd like to share a comment, please feel free to do so. And again, we invite you to take the mic. Just like Laura and Norman and Patrick have done. And all of these links, most of the links that we've shared today are in the GLAM link that you can follow up with after the session. And you can purchase the book information and enter the code PASSION for a discount. And thank you for that blog post, Lisa. All of these links and comments will be shared in the chat log.
No, I would,
and they will all be posted to our website later this weekend.
For other resources to bring in to share with your students about why passion matters in the world, like whether it's at the boardroom or just in the general. I invited the world and some of you to a conversation on my blog that held about 50 to 60 world leaders in different industries, and different from marketers to bloggers to radio show personalities to dads, moms, educators, scientists, to talk about what passion means in their work, in the world, and in their own learning. And I think just there's a whole network of conversations that you can bring kids. If you want to be a scientist, here's what scientists say about passion. If you want to be a writer, this is what writers, this is what passion means to writers. And I think always that
absolutely.
We
and
have
we
more
also resources
together for answering the question, why does passion matter? It's better for all of
to
us.
To your blog post throughout the week. And so we do hope that you will follow up and continue these conversations in all of your PLN avenues, and especially the Classroom 2.0 name, Learn Central, your blog post, and we hope that you will continue this conversation and share your passion for learning in whatever venue that you have access to or whatever media that you want, media outlet that you want to use. And it looks like some of the questions and comments are winding down. And we do thank each of you for staying on in the post show afterwards and for joining us today. It says a lot, Angela and Amy, that we still have 42 people in the post show, after show.
Happy holidays,
on
everybody.
The last
thank
Saturday
you.
Before Christmas, in the middle of the holiday season.
Yes, I would like to.
Norman.
Would suggest is that.
Norman, did you
want to
make a final comment or question?
No. James Paul G, but
I removed your other Norman to prevent the echo. So go ahead and continue.
Your other Norman to prevent the echo. So go ahead and continue.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, go ahead and continue.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead and continue.
Thank you very much. I just wanted, James Paul G has written several books about the power of video games and situated learning, and I think it fits right in with what he has to say. And one of the principal ideas, especially when people talk about kids not being interested in anything or not being able to concentrate on things, watch them play video games. They concentrate, they are interested, they are passionate. And a great deal of it has to do with the way those games are organized. They don't start you out at level 10 and take you back to level 0. They start you at level 0. And as you accomplish things, you're rewarded for them.
Great
you're not
reflection
penalized
point.
For not being perfect.
And we want to thank each
and
of you for joining us today. And we're going
to
share the
program
link one final time. So be sure to share the recordings when they're posted to our website later this weekend. And follow up with the Glam Link when you have time and when you're reflecting during the holidays. And be sure to respond to the VoiceThread tribute for Steve Hargadon. And if you see him around online, tell him not to go to the VoiceThread. And invite your colleagues and friends for a wonderful celebration countdown to the new year in our Countdown Smackdown on Thursday, December 30th at the same time that we meet on Saturdays at 12 p.m. Eastern in the same Illuminate room. And have a wonderful holiday season to everybody. And join us next Thursday. Have a great weekend, everybody. join us for great fun and celebration to ring in the new year. Take care, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend.